Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, we're having a conversation this morning about sexual assault, a really important one. And one issue that is emerging is that a lot of people who were sexually assaulted didn't believe it was sexual assault at the time. They dismissed the assault as just a grope or someone just having a laugh. But now they realise it was sexual assault. It did make them feel violated and uncomfortable, and that we need to start calling out this behaviour for what it is, sexual assault. I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line now by Nolene Blackwell, Chief Executive of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. Nolene, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jen. Good, thanks very much. And I think it's a really important conversation you're having and calling out just this morning and yesterday as well. It's really... It is absolutely essential that we are able to label things the way they really are, because times are changing and we have to be able to talk about things the way you're talking about it, so that everyone can recognise that these things happen, and the fact that someone feels uncomfortable, the fact that someone feels, as you say, violated, because that's what these assaults are. Very often there's no physical evidence. It's just that your most private thoughts even are impacted by this, and it is a real mental trauma as a result. So now we maybe are getting to a stage where we don't have to say, I'm dismissing it in my own head even, let alone saying it to anybody else.
And that's the change, isn't it? Do you think there's a bit of a shift now that people are able to recognise it more from the Me Too movement and all the education and these types of conversations? People are looking back now and going, hang on a second, actually, that was sexual assault.
Absolutely. I think the Me Too movement and all of those, I believe her, you know, there have been so many different conversations around that over the past 3 or 4 years that people are beginning to talk about it. The trouble with sexual assault so long was that it was hidden, and that actually, if you did call it out, you felt like you were the person making the mistake. You were the person disrupting the nice, easy way that we had, whereby men behaved in one way and women behaved in another way, and you put up with things, whatever the stereotype was around you. But over the past few years, loads of people are saying, not good enough, not putting up with it, not just going to accept it, that this is my place in life and I have to put up with it. And that's why that what you're talking about there, that change, that people rethinking, they're not rethinking the action because they always knew it happened. They always knew they were uncomfortable with it. But now they recognise that actually it wasn't their fault, and they're not stuck with keeping it in their own thinking. Mm. They're allowed to recognise that somebody else behaved badly, and sometimes behaved criminally badly, but certainly behaved badly.
Nolene, can I ask you, why do we have an issue with calling being groped or touched intimately without consent a sexual assault?
That's what it is. So it's in a sense, it's not even for me to say whether it's an issue for me, because it's not really my opinion. The truth is that any non-consensual intimate touching of a person is in law a sexual assault, where sexual activity takes place. Now, I'm not talking about somebody putting, you know, a hand on someone else's hand for to just make a point or something like that. I'm talking about something where somebody without consent touches or engages in some sort of sexual activity or sexual action, where there is no consent, then in our legal system, That is criminal behaviour. So that makes it a sexual assault. Now, an awful lot of people won't want to report necessarily everything to the Gardaí, but to know that it is the law is sort of the bottom line on this. And then to recognise that that kind of behaviour, even if the person who is who has this happened to them, even if they're not going to report it, to recognise that it is often harmful, that it hurts them, that they feel uncomfortable, that it is not fun, that there is an impact from sexual assault. This is what we know for sure. We run, as you said earlier, the National 24-Hour Helpline. We know people will often not be able to say what it is that is wrong. But when they describe what happened, they are actually describing a sexual assault. And the reason they contact the helpline is it doesn't feel right. It's not right. And they just need somewhere to check that out sometimes, because we're still not great as a society at helping each other to label things that way. It's because it's a big change, Jen. Like for so many decades and centuries, people were told, look, don't bother somebody about that. You'll be seen as a troublemaker. And this can still happen. Irish people, I think, maybe were not that good at confrontation. So if somebody in a group is the victim of a sexual assault, others may very well drift away and come and console them later, but not call it out at the time and say, please, that's not acceptable. And if you're going to do that, why don't you, the person carrying out that activity, leave the group rather than the person who's the subject of the assault? Because you can verbally assault people as well as physically assault them.
What are the Gardaí like when it comes to reporting things like groping, a sexual assault? Do they take it seriously? One issue that has come up time and time again was that some feel Gardaí don't take it seriously, or perhaps they're even wasting Gardaí time. I got a text in. I just want to read this out to you and see what you think. Jen, hearing that Gardaí text in really annoyed me, saying she was frustrated the victim hadn't reported it. My friend was asleep and woke up to her now ex-boyfriend raping her. I went with her to the Garda station the next day and I wouldn't even repeat the things the Gardaí said to her. They were completely dismissive and asked questions like, are you just saying this because you had a fight? We put in a complaint to the GSOC but heard nothing back. This is why people do not report, it says in caps. What would you say to that person, Nolene?
Yeah, I would say we would still as well have a lot of issues with how the justice system is still treating sexual assaults. I would say this for the guards, that at the level of their policy, at the level of their training, they all are now being taught in a much more comprehensive way than even 3 or 4 years ago. They're being taught about sexual assault. They're being taught about how to investigate it. And I think you will have seen from people contacting you over the past couple of days even, that experiences differ. We would say that in theory, the Gardaí now have probably an excellent system for hearing and investigating sexual assaults. But the truth is that there isn't still full consistency between Gardaí. So that's not good enough, that you kind of have to get lucky on who you're reported to, which is the one side of it, that there are still occasions where the first experience with the Garda is so poor that somebody will not proceed further. But the flip side of that as well is that business of not wasting the Garda time. I mean, yeah, these are criminal offences. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like if your coat was stolen on a night out or you were physically assaulted, you wouldn't say, well, you might say, but I mean, you'd be less likely to say, I won't trouble the Gardaí with telling them that I was physically assaulted. So it's the same with a sexual assault. Actually, we sometimes hear that on the helpline as well, that people say, look, I don't want to waste your time because this might be too small. And that's actually
the problem.
That's us stopping ourselves in some way. You know, that first of all, we have to understand the stereotypes that we have brought into our own thinking, where somebody else doesn't even have to stop us dealing with an issue. We stop ourselves because we say, oh, I'm being oversensitive. I'm being too anxious. I don't want to waste time. And maybe I brought it on myself in some way. All of these things are things we tell ourselves because that's what society has told us to tell ourselves for decades in relation to the area of sexual assault, which really society did not want to know about. So we stop ourselves sometimes. So that is something that, in a sense, I can understand why it happens, but we need to check that in ourselves.
Yeah.
Are we, because somebody will do it to somebody else if we don't report it.
I think you said something very strong at the beginning, which will stop people in their tracks. It shouldn't, but it will, because we're all being educated, myself especially this morning. If you have been groped, that person has broken the law, and that's what it comes down to. Can I ask you then, Nolene, if someone goes to the guards and they don't have a good experience with the guards, I mean, we can't let anyone get away with a crime like sexual assault. So what should they do?
Yeah. So if they don't, and the next bit of that text was that they had actually complained to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman and hadn't heard back. Now, I don't know how long ago that was, but that would be very serious. So I suggest that if somebody is in that situation, if they've gone to the guards, if they haven't got the response that they need from the Gardaí, then I really think that it would be worth their while contacting the helpline, our helpline, which is, it's there for everyone. And some people will want to ask about their friend. Somebody else will want to ask about a rape that happened 20 years ago. And somebody else might just want to know, what do I do when I get stuck with the Gardaí? And we have signposts and we have, supports that we can put in place at that stage. And there are 16 rape crisis centres around the country.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter where anybody is. There is some support available, but the helpline is there kind of as a first stop for a lot of people. And we're building up our web chat on it as well, of which we're very proud because we didn't have good enough structures in place until now. So people can even just use that, to just kind of test the water and see, are they right or are they wrong? Because it might be perfectly okay for a guard to say, look, it's 11 o'clock at night. This isn't something we can do something about. And can you come back at 8 o'clock in the morning? That might be all right, but it definitely might not, depending on the circumstances. So the helpline is there, and I think people could use it. And also, I think to just recognise that as we're moving very fast in this area, Jen. It's like, as I say, I think I said when I was talking to your researcher that 5 years ago, there were some people who would not wear Dublin Rape Crisis Centre on their T-shirt when they were, say, running a marathon for us or something, because they were very happy to fundraise and support for us, and God knows we need it, but they didn't want to be associated with the word. Whereas I rarely see that now. Mm. So we're moving quite fast as a society. I think an awful lot of people are recognising they're not going to put up with it anymore. And I think that our state institutions, which I give out about the whole time, but they're moving as well, not consistently, not across the board, like there's tens of thousands, there's over 10,000 Gardaí there, and clearly it's not all going well, but they are definitely improving all the time, so that hopefully we will get to a stage where it's just treated as seriously as it actually is if someone wants to report. But it's not the only place, because as well as that, I think we have to have the capacity to report to the Gardaí. But for an awful lot of people, they just want the abuse to stop. And that's why I think maybe this programme is great as well. And Minister Madigan coming out, because it allows conversations to take place whereby if I'm with a group of my friends or if I'm in a workplace and I see somebody misbehaving and sexually assaulting somebody or verbally harassing them, that I am now not content to put up with working with that person or socializing with that person without calling it out. You know, without, if I'm out with my partner, that we have spoken about it in advance so that my partner knows how to support me if that happens to me. Do you know, we've a lot of, I think, conversations to have between friends, in workplaces, in clubs, in at home, about what to do when this thing that happens far too often and happens to all genders, but mostly to women. That's the research and that's the truth of it. So we have to have those conversations around how will a group have a conversation about what they do think is and is not acceptable and think it through. Mm. Because we know from everything we hear in our society what to do if somebody thumps you. That's an easy one. Whereas we have not had the experience of actually calling out sexual assault when it happens in our social groups or in our workplaces. And that would make a huge difference if it was called out. It would stop all those. I was listening to a couple of people before I came on, and both Sarah and Richard mentioned someone thought it was fun. Well, that particular statement, "it's only fun," has to stop, because we're not... It's not fun at the other end of it, and it's not right, and it's not proper, and we could stop it.
And we will stop it, and we should stop it. Nolene Blackwell, thank you so much for joining me today. And you can contact the National 24-Hour Helpline at 1-800-77-88-88.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.